This final deep dive of December 2022 is from McGlynn and colleagues. Association of low and no calorie sweetened beverages as a replacement for sugar sweetened beverages with body weight and cardiometabolic risk. A systematic review and meta-analysis. Published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Network Open Journal in 2022. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. There are certain evergreen controversial topics in nutrition. Saturated fat and heart disease, carbs and diabetes, and, drumroll please, artificial sweeteners. And 2022 has been a good year for keeping the sweetener controversy evergreen, with two publications from the French Nutrinet Santé cohort suggesting increased risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. In reconciling apparent controversy within an evidence base, it is important to have regard for the total body of evidence. For example, if we have a finding from epidemiological data, is there evidence that would lend biological plausibility to that observational association? Is there a mechanism that could explain an association between a given exposure and outcome? Bringing some rigor to the table with these questions is crucial for the artificial sweeteners controversy. Given that these compounds undergo extensive toxicology and safety assessments in animal models prior to regulatory approval and use in the human food supply. Thus, observational findings of increased cardiovascular risk, such as that in the Nutrinet Santé cohort, call into question these existing regulatory frameworks. In relation to biological plausibility and potential mechanisms that could explain an association with increased cardiovascular risk, we can turn to randomized controlled trials in humans. However, whether artificial sweeteners are compared to another non-calorie control, i.e. water, or are compared to a calorie-containing control, i.e. sugar-sweetened beverages, is an important factor that may influence the outcomes of RCTs. In order to deal with the expected differential outcomes related to the control in RCTs on artificial sweeteners, the present study utilized network meta-analysis to investigate these different comparisons. Geekbox. Network meta-analysis. In a traditional meta-analysis, single studies are compiled together to obtain an overall summary of effect for the exposure and outcome being investigated. In a network meta-analysis, the effects of three or more interventions may be compared. This is achieved by combining what is known as direct and indirect estimates. For example, let's say we have drug A, drug B, and drug C. And let's say that several studies have compared drug A versus drug C. This would be a direct estimate. Now let's say other studies have compared drug B versus drug C. A network meta-analysis would allow for an indirect estimate between drug A and drug B, as they had both been compared to drug C in other studies. This means that a network meta-analysis is particularly useful for analyzing the comparative effects of different interventions and can estimate how these interventions rank in effectiveness. An important assumption for the validity of a network meta-analysis is what is known as transitivity. This means that there are no systematic differences in the comparisons other than the treatments being compared, i.e., it is as if the participants could have been randomized to any of the treatments in a study and the remaining factors would be similar. Network meta-analysis is a relatively new statistical approach and is a promising method for determining effectiveness of comparative treatments on a specific condition or outcome. The study. The present study was a network meta-analysis of the effect of artificial sweeteners on cardiometabolic risk factors based on three comparative interventions. One, artificial sweeteners replacing sugar-sweetened beverages, i.e. calorie displacement. Two, artificial sweeteners replacing water, i.e. no calorie displacement. And three, water replacing sugar-sweetened beverages, i.e. calorie displacement. Thus, included studies compared one of either artificial sweeteners, sugar-sweetened beverages, or water against another of the three beverages. To be included, studies were required to fulfill the following criteria: design and duration, RCTs over a minimum of 2 weeks. Population, adult men and women excluding pregnancy or lactation with or without a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. Intervention, non-calorie or low-calorie sweeteners, for simplicity here referred to as artificial sweeteners. Comparator, sugar-sweetened beverage or water. And outcome, primary outcome was change in body weight. Secondary outcomes included blood lipids, glycemic control, blood pressure, liver fat, and liver enzymes. The results are presented as mean difference and 95% confidence intervals. The outcomes for mean difference are expressed in the unit of measurement. For example, body weight in kilograms can be interpreted in those terms. Results were also presented as standardized mean difference, which is important to distinguish from mean difference because standardized mean difference is calculated and interpreted as an effect size. 0.2, 0.6, and 0.8 are considered small, medium, and large effect sizes, respectively. Results. 17 RCTs were included in the meta-analysis, within which there were 24 different comparisons in total, i.e. artificial sweeteners versus sugar-sweetened beverage, sugar-sweetened beverage versus water, artificial sweeteners versus water, etc. The total sample size was 1,733 participants, of which 77.4% were women, with an average age of 33 years, and 22.6% had overweight or obesity. Artificial sweeteners replacing sugar-sweetened beverages. Substituting sugar-sweetened beverages for artificial sweeteners was associated with a 1.6 kilogram decrease in body weight and a range of 0.41 to 1.7 kilogram decrease in body weight. A 0.32 kilogram per meter squared decrease in BMI and a range of 0.07 to 0.58 kilograms per meter squared decrease. And a 0.60% decrease in body fat and a range of 0.18% to 1.03% decrease. The standardized mean difference for body weight, BMI, and body fat were 0.65, 0.67, and 0.75 respectively, indicating moderate effect sizes for these outcomes. Liver fat was reported as standardized mean difference only and decreased from substituting sugar-sweetened beverages for artificial sweeteners with a standardized mean difference of 0.42 and a range of 0.14 to 0.95, a small to moderate effect size. Water replacing sugar-sweetened beverages. Although the direction of effect for the substitution of sugar-sweetened beverages with water was similar to substituting sugar-sweetened beverages for artificial sweeteners, the outcomes were not statistically significant. Liver fat similarly decreased from water replacing sugar-sweetened beverages, a standardized mean difference of 0.36 and range of minus 0.01 to 0.74, while BMI decreased by 0.35 kilograms per meter squared and a range of minus 0.13 to 0.83 kilograms per meter squared. Artificial sweeteners replacing water. Substituting water for artificial sweeteners was associated with a 1.07 kilogram decrease in body weight and a range of 0.19 to 1.95 kilogram decrease, and a 2.63 millimeters of mercury decrease in systolic blood pressure and a range of 0.55 to 4.71 millimeters of mercury decrease. Compared to artificial sweeteners, water was associated with a 0.21% decrease in HbA1c and a range of 0.02 to 0.40% decrease. More on this will be discussed under interesting finding. The critical breakdown. Pros. The inclusion criteria for the primary studies were clearly stated, and the paper clearly outlined the PICO or PCOTS, i.e. population, intervention, comparator, outcome, time and duration, and study, criteria for inclusion. The use of a network meta-analysis allowed for the comparisons of three exposures, artificial sweeteners, water, and sugar-sweetened beverages. This included trials that directly compared two of these in a head-to-head, i.e. the direct estimates, and the indirect estimates of the effect of the third exposure from the comparison between the other two. The indirect estimate increased the available data pool of the overall meta-analysis, and overall the indirect estimates were similar to the direct estimates. Cons. Notwithstanding the similarity between direct and indirect estimates, the study is still limited by the small number of direct comparisons for some outcomes, which in turn influences the strength of indirect comparison. For example, if only one trial directly compared water to sugar-sweetened beverages on blood pressure, and two trials directly compared artificial sweeteners to sugar-sweetened beverages on the same outcome, estimating the indirect effect of water on artificial sweeteners is limited by the lack of direct comparisons. Some comparisons were based on limited sample sizes. For example, the trials of water replacing sugar-sweetened beverages had a total of 429 participants. The primary included studies were imbalanced for sex, with a majority of female participants, and were largely confined to North America and Europe, limiting generalizability to the potential effects of artificial sweeteners in other populations. No subgroup analyses were conducted to determine the influence of factors like sex, study duration, or funding source. Key characteristic. One crucial consideration in the design of RCTs on artificial sweeteners is energy replacement. This is because, as non-calorie or low-calorie compounds, artificial sweeteners are conceptually intended to displace energy from the diet, in particular energy from sugar-sweetened beverages. Any potential benefit to artificial sweeteners may primarily reflect the substitution for sugar and/or calories in beverages and food products, reducing total energy intake, facilitating weight loss, and, consequently, improvements in cardiometabolic risk factors. This means that what artificial sweeteners are compared to in an RCT is important for outcomes. Compared to water, there is no energy displacement, and consequently there are no expected benefits on cardiometabolic outcomes. However, compared to sugar-sweetened beverages, the displacement of energy from sugar-sweetened beverages by artificial sweetener product reduces energy intake and facilitates improvements in cardiometabolic risk factors, which leads us to the interesting finding. In the analysis that compared artificial sweeteners to water, water was associated with a 0.21% decrease in HbA1c and range of 0.02 to 0.40% decrease, i.e., an improvement in glycemic control compared to artificial sweeteners. However, to the casual observer, the way that meta-analysis results are presented could be interpreted as indicating that artificial sweeteners worsen HbA1c. The presentation of the effect estimate is all to the right of the line, so it could be construed as a negative effect of artificial sweeteners on HbA1c in a forest plot of a meta-analysis. However, recall that this is a comparison of effects of each, artificial sweeteners and water, on this outcome. And if we look at the primary included studies from which such a finding was generated, we can see that these effects appear to be driven by weight loss intervention trials that compared artificially sweetened beverage consumption to water. And in these trials, both water and diet sodas led to improvements in HbA1c. However, the magnitude of effect was greater for water. Thus, what this finding was in fact showing was that water had a more beneficial effect on HbA1c during weight loss diets, not that artificial sweeteners worsen HbA1c. Relevance. The appetite of the beast of controversy is insatiable. And so for every Nutrinet-Thante cohort study finding, multiple well-conducted studies appear to be required to counteract the controversy. For cardiovascular disease, the Nutrinet-Thante cohort suggested a 9% higher risk of total cardiovascular disease with higher than median total artificial sweetener intakes. However, a pooled analysis of six studies, including 280,886 participants and 4,248 coronary heart disease events over 8.2 years, showed that the replacement of sugar-sweetened beverages with artificial sweeteners was associated with a 12% lower risk of coronary heart disease events. Thus, with much greater sample sizes and numbers of events, the overall weight of epidemiological research does indicate a benefit to cardiovascular risk from replacing sugar-sweetened beverages with artificial sweeteners. The present study adds to this evidence by demonstrating that human randomized controlled trials show the replacement of sugar-sweetened beverages with artificial sweeteners are associated with improved body composition and decreases in liver fat, albeit these differences are modest. These outcomes would be consistent with the biologically plausible explanation that where non- or low-calorie alternatives displace calorie-containing beverages or foods from the diet, there is a net reduction in total energy intake that facilitates weight loss. If we look at the direction of effect for blood lipids and blood pressure, we can also see that these risk factors tend to be lower comparing artificial sweeteners to sugar-sweetened beverages. And as we discussed under interesting finding above, there is evidence that water may outperform artificial sweeteners in relation to some markers, for example, HbA1c, but not all, for example, systolic blood pressure. Thus, while there may be outlier studies that feed the insatiable beast of controversy, the weight of evidence from both epidemiology and RCTs, supported by the present recent network meta-analysis, indicate that artificial sweeteners are associated with lower cardiovascular disease risk, a reduction in body weight when energy is displaced from the diet, and either neutral or modest improvements in cardiovascular disease risk factors. Application to practice. The main implication from the present study is that energy displacement is a critical concept for the role of artificially sweetened beverages and foods in the diet. The application of this concept means that artificial sweeteners can certainly be an effective substitution for calorie-containing foods and beverages, provided these calories are not compensated for elsewhere in the diet. Where this substitution effect is achieved, artificial sweeteners may be useful in facilitating reductions in energy intake, but they should not necessarily be considered a means to improve cardiometabolic risk factors independent of the wider diet. In sum, artificial sweeteners may be included in the context of overall nutritional best practices for improving cardiometabolic health. Fear-mongering over moderate artificial sweetener consumption is counterproductive and, importantly for healthcare professionals, is not evidence-based advice. Eating more vegetables is more important than the odd Diet Coke. And on that note, I would like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays and the very best of wishes for the upcoming New Year 2023.